Well, gets it back side of the lane. Outside to Rasmussen, a three left wing. No good as it rattles out. Rebound to Sinet. 4-point lead for St. Croix Central, but it's Altoona ball. They've had a gust of wind behind them with Becker on the bench. Driving through Sinet, too strong off the window. And the rebound to Grinnell, who never even had to leave his feet at 6'9". St. Croix Central ball. They attack the hoop down to our right, leading by four. Grinnell free throw line. To Gofferson, right corner. Pass underneath the Klin. Klin hesitates for a moment. Waits for Van Vliet to fly by. And then scores off the glass. Braden Klin up to 11 points in the game. And the lead is to 6 for St. Croix Central. Van Vliet, right side. Zigzags his way. Got underneath. Tried to go up strong. But the shot is smothered in front of him by the 6'9 Grinnell. And it's back to St. Croix Central ball. And a timeout will be taken by St. Croix Central. 9:51 to play in the second half. St. Croix Central leads by 6. They've got the ball when we come back from Eau Claire Hometown Media and 93.5 The Tap.
Join the area's newsmakers and learn more about what is happening in our town, all while enjoying a beer with the Banker with a Beer podcast series, heard only at echometownradio.com. Each week, Jerry Keel from Northwestern Bank brings on guests to learn more about what is happening in our region, and along the way, they try some delicious beers. It's the Banker with a Beer podcast series, heard only at echometownradio.com.
.951 to play in the second half. St. Croix Central trying to snap out of their losing ways. Leads Altoona, trying to snap out of their own losing ways. St. Croix Central up 42-36. Again, 9:51 left in the second half, and St. Croix Central ball on a side out at midcourt. Grayson Becker remains on the bench for Altoona, not being looked at by the medical staff at the moment, but that's still big with him on the bench, as it looked like he rolled that right ankle moments ago. Becker, 13 points all in the first half. Somebody else is going to have to step up. We've seen Miles Sinet get a flurry here recently. St. Croix Central ball attacking the hoop to our right. Scott Montesano with you. Derek Montesano with us to the right as well. Gofferson, right wing, trying to go outside for Rasmussen. Knocked away by Gunderson, and it goes out of bounds to the St. Croix Central bench. That's a guy right there, Owen Gunderson. Going to need him to get going still. No points for Gunderson.
Yeah, that's one thing. Gunderson just hasn't gotten going in this one, something he did in their previous meeting.
Gofferson, free throw line jumper, no good. Rebound, ball goes out of bounds off the hands of Leith for St. Croix Central. So it's back to Altoona. The thing is, because Gunderson averages 3 threes a game, and because he can heat up beyond the arc, he can get points in a hurry. He drives, though, this time, stops, hands it off to Sinet. Now to Goward, right corner for three. Oh, pops out, no offensive rebound, no the worth. Drops off to Goward underneath. He has it raked away, gets it back. He's protecting the ball, spits into the left corner. An open three by Smoody. It's just an air ball, though. Back to St. Croix Central. Altoona's not really drawing it up either for Gunderson to get the threes either. He's doing a lot of slashing and trying to throw it back outside. St. Croix Central ball, they lead by 6. Gofferson, right wing, left-hand dribble. Guarding him is Gunderson. They get it to Gofferson. Left sideline, an open three, bottoms. Chayton Gofferson, a big three there. He's got 12 points in the game, and the lead is back to 9 for St. Croix Central. They've led by as many as 11 early in this second half. Gunderson, baseline left, got double team. Looking for something, fires it back outside to Sinet. Deep three, halfway down, and it spits out no. Oh, on senior night, he should get a little bit more of a wink from the basketball gods, but no on that one. Ball back to St. Croix Central with 8 minutes to go. They lead by 9. Becker getting ready to check back in for Altoona. Here's an open three by Siller for St. Croix Central. No from the left wing. Rebound tapped around on the pines. Picked up by Altoona. They'll come right to left. Gunderson, left side. Spin move. in the lane. Scoop shot, no, but he was fouled. And Gunderson to the line to shoot a pair.
Yeah, with Becker coming back in now, that's going to be big here for Altoona. Having Becker just in there, we saw him have a big start to this game. If he continues what he has, he'll build this team back up.
Gunderson misses the first free throw. That foul, by the way, on Godfredson, his second. Despite all the early fouls Altoona had in the first half, neither team got to the bonus in the first half, and neither team is right now all that close to the bonus in the second half. Second free throw by Gunderson. Does get that one. Averages 16 points a game, but that's his first of the night right there. Full court press by Altoona. In the backcourt is Siller. Guarding him, Gunderson. Siller running along the left side of the line. Is able to get to the midcourt stripe. Now into the front court. And Altoona will fall back into their defense. Altoona working in a zone defense right now. A 2-3 zone, if you will. Quinn, right wing, picks up the dribble. High out to the left of Siller. Bounce feed to Grinnell. They've got it left block. Outside a three by Quinn. Got it. Braden Quinn, right sideline, hits the three, and the lead is back to 11 for St. Croix Central at 48-37. It matches a game high.
Well, it's safe to say St. Croix Central has figured out how to make those three-pointers.
They're not a team that usually is that prolific from beyond the arc. Sinette leans in the lane, can't get the shot to go as he lines it off the front rim. Ball back to St. Croix Central, and you get a feeling the game's on the lip a bit. 6:30 to play in the second half. 11-point lead for St. Croix Central. Grinnell gets a feed underneath. He got bumped into by Worth of Altoona. That'll be a foul on Worth. That'll be his third personal. Just the second on Altoona in this second half. Meanwhile, Grinnell will take a seat on the bench. Tad Posey, the beefy 6'5 player, now into the game for St. Croix Central. So you give up a little bit of the height, 6'9 to 6'5, but he had more size. Clint, right wing for St. Croix Central. Knee-high dribble with the left hand, picks up the dribble. Siller with it, top of the key. Now to Leith, 10-foot jump shot. Back rim, front rim, drops off, no good. Rebound, Smoody. Altoona the ball. Leith feet ahead to Becker. Beck underneath, puts on the deck once, then goes up and scores with the right hand. Full court presser by Altoona. They're down by 9. They need scores and stops now desperately, and a foul here on Gunderson, who was guarding Siller in the backcourt on the full court press. That'll be the first personal on Gunderson, just the third on Altoona.
And as this game's gone on, it's just been a pretty similar story. St. Croix Central, since they've built up this lead, they've been hanging about 9 to 11 points for the lead. And it's just been that way for the past about 5 minutes.
St. Croix Central ball into the lane. Leith throws it to the left side for Quinn. Floats it to Posey's side of the lane. Then they'll go back outside with it. Here comes Leith driving in right baseline. Shot rejected at the rim by Worth on the deck. Posey has it with his butt on the deck. And before he can get tied up for a hell ball situation, a timeout taken by St. Croix Central. So Altoona gets the stop but can't get the board. It's St. Croix Central that gets the board and the timeout. So St. Croix Central calls time. They'll have the ball when we come back from this timeout ourselves. 5:35 to play in the second half. St. Croix Central leads by 9 to 93.5 in Eau Claire Hometown Media.
Eau Claire Hometown Media is where the Chippewa Valley comes to talk. Follow Eau Claire Hometown Media on Spotify and have local podcasts come right to you every single day. Eau Claire Hometown Media features Banker with a Beer, Dose of Dog, Talk of the Town, and many other popular local podcasts. Follow Eau Claire Hometown Media on Spotify today.
St. Croix Central ball, they'll trigger it in from their attacking baseline. They lead by 9, 5:35 to play in the second half. Posey gets the inbounds feed, then lays it over to Leith, who is wide open at the block. He can't make the layup. Rebound back to Altoona. Down by nine. Underneath Worth. Oh, the pass to him from Gunnarsson went off his fingertips, stolen away by St. Croix Central. As we race the other way, Leith has the ball scraped out of his hands by Becker out of bounds. It'll stay with St. Croix Central, but missed opportunity there for Altoona. This is an Altoona team that scoring has become an issue all of a sudden, and we're seeing that tonight. St. Croix Central ball, the ball floated into midcourt for Gottfriedson. Gottfriedson with a solid game tonight, especially in the second half. He's got 12 points in the ball game now, including a couple of back-breaking threes. St. Croix Central on the verge of snapping a six-game losing streak. Clint, right wing, switches from his right to his left hand, then hands the ball off to Gottfriedson. Under five to go in regulation. Posey, side of the lane, back outside to Rasmussen. St. Croix Central, very happy to take a little air out of the basketball right now. Clock is their friend with a 9-point lead. 4:40 to go and counting. Posey has it. Outside the arc to the left. Got it to Rasmussen underneath. Off the window, he scores. So not only do they milk off a good 45 seconds from the clock, they add two, and the lead is back to 11 for St. Croix Central. Three ball on the way by Reggie Parks for Altoona to the game. No offensive rebound worth the ball, though. Off his hands, out of bounds. They say it was last touched, though, by St. Croix Central. Here's the thing. When these teams last met, Altoona wasn't able to get the threes. Only made three threes in that game against St. Croix Central in December. And seeing the same thing here tonight. Just not getting those looks beyond the arc. And when they do get the looks, they're not hitting them.
Yeah, that's one thing tonight. We usually see, and that's one thing with Owen Gunnarsson. Since he hasn't gotten going beyond the arc, so has the rest of the team.
Hunter Hibbard gets a feet underneath and scores. So the senior Hunter Hibbard gets his first 2 points on his senior night. And then the ball turned over by St. Croix Central. Siller got trapped at midcourt along the near sideline and got angled out of bounds, dribbled it out of bounds. So the ball back to Altoona as they try to make one last spurt in this one. Down by nine with 4 minutes to play. Sinet has it in midcourt, knee-high dribble with the right hand. Gunnarsson high out right. Again, they're not leaving him open at all for these shots. Tried to feed it to Sinet, who was open in the left wing, but jumping out and knocking it out of bounds with Rasmussen at the last second. Rasmussen's been like a mouse that burrows into your package of oyster crackers. He's been a nuisance all game long for Altoona on offense. Sinet at midcourt. Thought about driving, nowhere to go. Hands it to Becker. Becker, free throw line, takes a jump shot. No, offensive rebound though to Hibbert. Hibbert, they get it back to Becker. Becker curls into the lane, throws it to the corner to Sinet, but a foul. Foul. Before Sinet caught the pass, a foul on Becker as he was driving.
See, yeah, that's one thing. Becker was going in for the shot, but he took the bump before he went up for it. It'll be a non-shooting foul for an inbound pass.
That's the fourth personal on Clint. Becker caught underneath, tried to, now he was falling out of bounds across the base. All he could do is throw it into the hands of Rasmussen, and then Rasmussen is fouled in the backcourt. That'll be a foul on Becker, his first, team's fourth. 3:10 to play in regulation, 50-41. St. Croix Central leads by nine. Now Altoona just has not had enough offense in this one. They've actually played relatively well defensively in this game, but again, have not had any offensive kick. Another foul on Altoona as they're going to get Sinet on a foul of Rasmussen in the front court. That'll be the fourth on Miles Sinet. By the way, they'll have a ceremony after the game for Sinet and Hibbard for their senior night. They don't try to squeeze it in before the game. Quinn left wide open, drives on through from up top for St. Croix Central. Thought about going for the dunk. He comes up a little short, but he's able to get the layup. And then Reggie Parks just dribbling the ball up the floor for Altoona, travels in the backcourt. There was nobody around him. So just kind of a mental gaffe, unfortunately, for the young man, Reggie Parks. Ball turned back over to St. Croix Central. They lead by 11 with 2:45 to go. And unfortunately for Altoona, their month-long struggle is going to continue. This is a team with a lot of promise, though, with so many guys that could be back, but it doesn't mean much to the seniors in Sinnott and in Hibbard, who tonight will most assuredly be their last home game. It would take an awful lot to happen for there to be a postseason game here at Altoona. It's kind of disappointing how the season's winding down for Altoona when you think about it, Derek. With how young they are, you'd kind of hope that it would all start to come together as the season went along, and maybe the arrow would point up, but just too many things have conspired against them as the season wound down.
Yeah, things have kind of spiraled out of control for this team, despite the fact that the season has gotten to this point. It's kind of just gotten out of control since the middle of January.
Foul, by the way, called on Grinnell of St. Croix Central. A non-shooting foul. Ball is controlled by Altoona. With 2:15 to go, they're down by 11 points. Becker, left wing. Becker and Sinnott really the only offensive punch that Altoona's had in this game. As Gunderson tried to drive, ball raked away from him though by Rasmussen. Rasmussen tries to drive the other way, but he slips. He slips as though he's an old lady walking to the deli on ice. And they call just a travel right there on Rasmussen, who got yet another steal in this game, by the way. But as he ran up the floor, he found a wet spot apparently and slipped onto his rear end, which is a travel. Luckily, he's not hurt or anything. It's one of those things you can laugh about. Gunderson for three, white wing way off the mark. And the ball back to St. Croix Central as the defensive rebound by Seiler for St. Croix Central. And then Seiler, as he's running up the floor, they're going to call an offensive foul on St. Croix Central. An arm bar called on Quinn. That'll be his fifth. So Quinn, away from the play, was trying to set a screen for him, and they call him for the arm bar. So Quinn will foul out for St. Croix Central. Seventh foul on St. Croix Central, but a non-shooting situation with it being an offensive foul. 1:40 left to go in this one, an 11-point lead for St. Croix Central, 52-41. Michaels, top of the key, thought about going for the three, then tried a ball fake, but before he actually drives, they call him for the travel.
Yeah, now we're starting to see some of those mental mistakes from Altoona. They're showing themselves here in this one, and that's been a big key for them these past few games.
Got a foul called on Altoona. That'll be the sixth foul on Altoona, third personal on Hibbard. 1:27 left to go in this one. Breadbasket empty, just waiting for the check to arrive. Again, we'll have North against Chi-High tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. And then next week, what do we have next week? We've got Regis against Stanley Boyd next Tuesday night. That'll be first off, Derek's calling the game tomorrow night, and Derek will call that Regis-Stanley Boyd game.
Indeed I will be, so I'm looking forward to those two.
And then end of the month, we'll start the playoffs. We'll have Memorial Girls basketball in the playoffs. And then we'll also follow Memorial Boys in the playoffs as far as both those schools go in the playoffs, and then we'll pivot if we have to, if either of them lose. Foul, by the way, called here on, they foul Seiler, who goes to the line to shoot a 1-1 for St. Croix Central. Misses the front end of the 1-1, but the offensive rebound to Blake Leith for St. Croix Central, and they've got the ball again. Seiler is fouled once again at the top of the key by Ethan Michaels. That's the eighth foul on Altoona. And Seiler to the line to shoot a 1-1 with 1:18 to play. And St. Croix Central looking to add to a 52-41 lead.
Yeah, St. Croix Central look to be well on their way to ending this skid, the six-game skid of theirs. So they'll end up on the good end of this one.
Well, again, he misses the front end of the 1-1, but on the ensuing rebound, the ball gets knocked out of bounds. Last touch by Altoona. And it'll be St. Croix Central ball. Once again, well, despite the outcome here, it'll still be a nice ceremony after the game for Hibbard and for Sinnott. as they'll be honored after the game. Family here, no doubt, friends as well, as their high school basketball careers begin to wind down. Always a special occasion, senior night, always an emotional moment, especially for the parents when you think about it. All those years of driving the kids to and from practices, going to watch games, the memories, the moments, and all of that. And it's just one in a series of emotional moments for both the parents and for the kids during a senior year. Heck, Derek, even your younger sister Alexia is getting emotional over just her last few weeks in elementary school.
Yeah, I know. That's one thing with her that's a bit different from me. I was ready to move on to middle school, but
you liked your time at Mann's, but you couldn't wait to. Yeah, you were busting open the door to get out of there at the same time.
Indeed, I kind of was.
Tanner Grinnell, by the way, is at the line for St. Croix Central. He hits the front end of a 1-1. Grinnell up to 16 points in the game. He was a huge factor in the first half. And he hits a second free throw as well. And then a timeout taken here. We'll keep it here with 58 seconds left to play. 54-41, St. Croix Central leads. It was a back-and-forth game in the first half. St. Croix Central went on a little spurt at the end of the first half and took a three-point lead into the dressing room at 25-22. But here in the second half, Altoona just has not been able to muster up any offense. St. Croix Central built up a very early 11-point lead in the second half, and that set the tone. Once they built that 11-point lead, St. Croix Central had a kick. Altoona never had a sustained response, and St. Croix Central is going to win this game fairly stress-free.
Yeah, Altoona just could not get that extra kick of about 6-7 points in a row and then sustain that. That's just one thing that killed them here. Owen Gunderson just never got going. One of their big guys, that's another key. Having one of your big guys not have one of his standard games is also going to hurt you today. Also couldn't get the three ball really going against St. Croix Central, so there's a lot to be picky about for this Altoona team.
Altoona will throw the ball in here, 58 seconds to go. By the way, the Altoona coaching staff, meant to mention this earlier, they're wearing special t-shirts tonight that have the seniors' names on the back of them, a nice gesture for the coaches, and no doubt actually, a lot of those t-shirts are also being worn by the parents off to our left as well. A runner in the lane drops on in for Ethan Michaels for Altoona, and then a quick timeout called again by Altoona. So 41 seconds to go. Lead is down to 11 for St. Croix Central. We'll take a timeout as well. This is Eau Claire Area High School Basketball from 93.5 and Eau Claire Hometown Media.
We discuss this game and all the local games on the Sports Watch podcast series, heard only at echometownradio.com. That's echometownradio.com. The Sports Watch podcast series is the only audio show in the area that is devoted to Chippewa Valley sports, high school, the Blue Gold, the Chippewa Steel, as well as shining a light on the numerous youth and niche sports organizations in town. The Sports Watch podcast at echometownradio.com.
Final 41 seconds of this game. St. Croix Central is going to pick up the win. It's just a matter of what the final margin will be. 54-43, St. Croix Central leads, and they'll trigger it in. Altoona still has the full-court press that they're going to have on, so Paul Heinrichs hasn't quite had his team relax the muscles yet. 9 team fouls on Altoona, so the next foul would send St. Croix Central to the line to shoot 2 regardless. Ball thrown into Grinnell. Grinnell in the backcourt being double-teamed. Might need some help here, and he's going to get bailed out by a timeout from his coach. So the final 90 seconds of this game taking significantly longer than honestly it really should, with the outcome not really in doubt. But St. Croix Central gets the timeout. We'll keep it here. 36 seconds left to play. Hey, again, winter storm coming tomorrow, so batten down the hatches. I'm sure that the grocery stores, people are flinging loaf of breads at loaf of bread at each other, but that loaf of bread is quite precious the day before a storm.
Yeah, I was going to say, you want to keep that loaf of bread ready with you.
You know, it's one of those things, on the meter of loaf of bread and eggs and milk, the storm tomorrow is one of those where maybe have a dozen eggs and a thing of bread, but you should be fine. This is not a snowpocalypse coming. Actually, if you're able to afford a dozen eggs, boy, I'd like to live with you, Mr. Rockefeller.
Oh, brother.
$5 a carton right now. Ball thrown in. They broke the full court press. As Goffredson got a lead feed, he's fouled from behind by Hibbard as he went up for a layup, and Goffredson will go to the line shooting a pair as Altoona not quite giving up quite yet, down by 11 with 34 seconds left. Goffredson will get a couple of free throws, buries the first one as he pads the stats a little bit here. He's got 13 points in this game, well above his season average of 6. Missed the second free throw. Hibbard picks up a rebound on senior night. Last 30 seconds. Reggie Parks, the junior, at the top of the key. Hands it off to Becker as a number of the students begin to peel out of the bleachers opposite of us. Grayson Becker tacks on a three. Hits a three from the right wing. And with 20 seconds to go, it's 55-46. St. Croix Central leads by 9. And another timeout taken by Altoona. So we'll take another timeout with them. Hopefully this will be the end of the game when we come back from 93.5 and Eau Claire Hometown Media.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Now, the argument for all these timeouts late by these coaches is that, hey, you're still playing. Opportunity to learn. And for both teams that are very young, both these teams bring so many guys back next year, it's a learning opportunity. Again, St. Croix Central breaks the full court press with a lead feed ahead to Goffredson, and Goffredson is fouled by Gunderson. And Goffredson will get a couple of free throws as they're in the double bonus. 17 seconds left. St. Croix Central leads by 9, but opportunity for live game reps in these situations. And you think about the seniors that are done coming up very soon. But again, both these teams will have a lot of these guys eligible to be back next year. Goffredson misses the first free throw. The second one did go in. There was a foul, though, on the shot. Do we count the bucket? Yes, we do, but a foul on St. Croix Central in the lane. The free throw went up. It took a high bounce. You thought it was going to miss. Ended up dropping in, and they called a foul on Owen Hearing, the senior, which will send Gunderson to the line for a 1-1 down to our left.
A little bit of a funky situation on that free throw.
Gunderson misses the free throw. Rebound to Grinnell. 15 seconds left, and they intentionally foul it. And we'll walk the other way where Grinnell.
And back and forth we go. Now over to the Altoona end for some St. Croix shots.
Yeah, Tanner Grinnell gets a chance to add to what is a 17-point night for him. First free throw. Backheeled it, no. And if you're Altoona, you held your opponent to 56 points, maybe 57 here in a moment. The issue was you just couldn't get the offense going. Second free throw, back heeled it, no. Rebound to Becker. Final 12 seconds, Becker up the floor. Left side to Gunderson. Pulls inside the arc for a long range two off the heel, no. Rebound thrown back out to the midcourt. Back down by Becker. 2-1, he'll take a half court heave. Misses it, and there's the buzzer ending this one. St. Croix Central cruises the final, 11 minutes of this ball game. take what was once a close game, but use an early second half spurt to build a big lead and cruise to a 56-46 win. We'll step aside, we'll come back, give you the final numbers, and say our final goodbye for tonight. This is Eau Claire Area High School Basketball from 93.5 and Eau Claire Hometown Media.
Stay tuned for tonight's postgame show featuring a recap of the game and a look at the final stats.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
It's time for tonight's postgame show featuring a recap of the game. Let's get back to the gym and Scott Montesano.
And welcome back one final time to Altoona High School. St. Croix Central defeats the Altoona Railroaders 56-46. St. Croix Central snaps a six-game losing streak, whereas for Altoona, they now drop seven of their last eight games. Seven of their last eight have been losses for Altoona. This was a tight ball game right through the halftime intermission, but St. Croix Central began the second half with a big flurry, built up an 11-point lead early on in the second half. Altoona a couple of times brought the deficit briefly down to six, but just did not have enough of an offensive push in this game to get back into it, and St. Croix Central wins going away. Scott Montesano with you, Derek Montesano with us as well, and Derek, some final numbers in this one.
Well, this one ended up going St. Croix Central's way by the hands of the shooting department. Altoona just 3 of 13 from beyond the arc, as well as shooting just 36% in this game from the field goal percentage. As far as St. Croix Central goes, they got going and they did not stop. Ended up shooting 56% from the field in this game, as well as 5 of 17 from beyond the arc. Both teams did get 8 offensive rebounds in this game, so you can't really blame it on the offensive glass for this one. But this one, St. Croix Central just takes with the better shots.
Top scorers in this game, St. Croix Central led by Tanner Grinnell. He had 17. Braden Klin had 12. As for Altoona, Miles Sinnett on his senior night does finish as the top scorer for Altoona with 16. Grayson Becker had 15. St. Croix Central improves to 7-13 overall, 5-7 in the middle borders. As for Altoona, they drop to 7-13 overall, 3-9 in the middle border conference. They play two road games next week before the seeds are released next weekend. Our next coverage of high school basketball here on 93.5 and Eau Claire Hometown Media tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, North against Chi-High. North against Chi-High tomorrow night. Derek, you'll have the call of that one.
Indeed I will. I'm ready for it.
And then next week we'll have Regis against Stanley Boyd in what should be a nifty little Clover Belt matchup. So for the latest schedule on everything, head to echometownradio.com. Don't forget this weekend we'll also get the brackets in girls basketball, and we'll be following the Memorial girls basketball team to at least start the playoffs. As far as they go, we'll follow them, and then if they were to end up losing, we'd pivot to somebody else, but hopefully they make a long run. Derek, your final thoughts.
Well, this one, St. Croix Central pulled away from it, and Altoona just couldn't get the offense really going. If they're going to want to find a way to get some wins before the playoffs, they're going to need to get that offense going again.
Well, Derek, thank you so much. Another nice job.
Well, I was glad to be here, and thank you.
Well, that'll wrap it up for us this evening. St. Croix Central defeats Altoona by the score of 56-46. On behalf of everyone who made this broadcast possible, I'm Scott Montesano, saying there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. Make sure to take advantage of it. And until tomorrow night, so long, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in to this presentation of Eau Claire High School Football from Eau Claire Hometown Media, 93.5 The Tap, and Civic Media. For a schedule of other upcoming games, visit echometownradio.com or thetap.fm.
Excited for tomorrow. So here we are. I'm in the cafeteria somewhere.
Yeah. Well, hey, we're really excited. A lot of things happened to get, like you said, the walkthrough, but a lot of things happened to get to this point. And I know Rory Wakeham up had the silk screening activity that he's had the for quite a few years. And so that must have been exciting, too.
Yeah, it was super well attended. I know Bandanas alone, I think we had like 750. Boston Scientific donated 250 bandanas to the efforts. We're coming out to volunteer tomorrow as well. And so, and then we brought some community came and showed up with shirts and all kinds of stuff. So Rory was on the move. I think Rory commented that it was like the busiest he has ever seen it since it's been going on. So that's great. I'm glad people are coming.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I feel like, you know, the last couple of years since COVID, it's been kind of revving up to it. And now we're all on all eight cylinders.
Yeah, I'm super excited and hope that, you know, families are feeling supported in new ways. I know, like, during COVID, we all felt isolated, and I can't imagine even more so our MMIR impacted families. And so it'll be good to be in community with everybody and just really show up and support them.
You know, I know in the past years we've had groups all the way from Chicago show up and speak their truth. What do we have? Have you heard any word on who's all coming from outstate?
I think some folks are coming back up from Chicago. Word on the street is I know relatives from North and South Dakota are headed this way. So I'm excited. And then, of course, Senator Kunesh will be joining us. And so it's always good to see her and be there. Man, there's so many people who have had a hand in planning. We were on it this year. We started planning in November. Big shout out to Naida Medicine Crow, who has been working nonstop to get these meetings scheduled and for everything to go smoothly. So just it's amazing to see so many people come together. And that's what we really want to see this time around. There's been so much divisiveness that we hear about in other media. And we don't want that to trickle into how we show up for each other. So it'll be a good show of solidarity. Can't wait to see the sea of red coming out tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And maybe we can mention a few of the sponsors. I know Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition, Minneapolis American Indian Center, American Indian Health Board, MMIR State Office, Native American Community Development Institute, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, Wake 'em Up Productions, Little Earth Protectors, and Gatherings Cafe, and Metro Transit. Is there anybody else I've missed?
Yeah, a few, you know, community folks too. I mean, we've had MDH, the Minnesota Department of Health, is sending out volunteers, and you know, we have sponsors, but we also have volunteers that come in from new places. Like, I never thought to reach out to Boston Scientific. They have some Indigenous folks over there who reached out and were like, we want to be a part. I'm like, great. So that's very cool. Also some other churches that like are stepped up and we're like, how can we help? We'll be here to help serve food. And so big shout out to just community for stepping up and helping. And of course, those that are going to be coming out to make sure that relatives are safe. We're happy to have that extra.
Well, I get all excited to talk to you, but that's back up a little bit here. It's going to start at 11. So I'm going to get there early so I can get my secret parking place close to the Indian Center. And so maybe we can talk a little bit about the between 11 and 2, what's going to be happening.
Yep, we'll start off, you know, start it off in a good way with a prayer, and then we have a host of speakers that are coming out, specifically some impacted families that will be coming into town and talking about their experience. Really, again, the message has been making sure that everyone is knowing like that these are your relatives that are missing too. This isn't just somebody else's son or somebody else's daughter. These are our relatives, and we want them back. We want justice, and so having families come is super important. And then we're gonna go out on the march together as a community and come back and eat. So that will be a good way to round it off and just come back and share some space with each other.
Well, I know some of the speakers in the past talk about their family decades ago or family member decades ago, and that just hits me, you know, hard. All the stories do, for sure, but just to realize that these relatives have had no answers about their missing relative.
Yeah, it's really heartbreaking. I mean, you know, I mentioned, I think last time I was on, the oldest case within our office is 43 years old, and I can't imagine, you know, and it's folks that are remaining in their family are getting up there in age as well. And so, you know, just waiting for those answers is hard. So we're trying to do our best. I know this year, something different. We're going to be also acknowledging the Dakota 38 that were hung plus two that were hung in Mankato. And so just again, saying their names, trying to be, you know, remember, I think we have like over, I think last time I heard 163 names of missing and murdered in Minnesota that we're going to be acknowledging, and also asking community too. If your relative's not on this list or you didn't hear them, please let us know so we can do better. There's no central data tracking point. We talked about data gaps in the past. So we want to acknowledge folks. So if you all have relatives that we don't mention, please come find me. I'm available. We're going to have a sheet too to add people's names as well, because I don't know a family who hasn't been impacted or who doesn't have a relative who's been impacted. And so we have to keep it moving, and this is just one of the ways that we're trying to raise that awareness.
Yeah, one of the first people that maybe were famous about missing at one time was Anna May, and that a documentary just came out, and how things were and how they kind of remain the same is the secrets and the hidden things and you know, and things that happen to us natives as almost second or third class people. So the right. amplifying this is just a great thing. I saw on one of the local stations, there was a piece about the making of the silk screening. And so getting the word out there is just our job and everybody's job.
Yeah, I was watching the same documentary on anime and the culture of silence, right? We talk about that. And we, you know, folks ask us who maybe are not within our community, what does the red handprint mean? And what does that silencing mean? And it's, you know, just it is the secrets that we keep that keep our communities unhealed, and things that we don't talk about or that we were socialized not to talk about. We don't talk about what happens within the home and violence and some of those secrets, code of the streets type stuff that leave families without answers. And it's good again, you know, I'm hoping that hearing from the families directly inspires, you know, people to come forward and take that step they need to provide information if they know it. I know it's hard. I can imagine it's hard. But I also hear and bear witness to the family's pain every day that passes, every birthday, every holiday that passes without answers is.
Yeah. It's tragic. Interesting too, the code of silence that comes with trauma. And, you know, we talk about the boarding schools, and, you know, there was another documentary that came out just recently, Sugarcane, and how those people, those relatives hadn't talked to about this for 40, 50 years of experience.
I mean, we talk about those root causes of MMR, and that's what, you know, we say, we list as, you know, some of that historical trauma, and how do we move to the next step? And that first place starts with our own healing and starting to acknowledge some of those things. And so, and to even within ourselves, take the time to do some self-care, to seek therapy, to turn to our cultural ways of healing and back to ceremonies and using our medicines and doing that when we're faced with these difficult heaviness of heart.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, we're here with Anna Negrete, interim director of the Minnesota State MMIR Office, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives. And we got like a minute here. There's a bunch of questions I want to talk to you about. But one of them I just want to bring up, I think it was you or in our last interview where I heard that State Senator Mary Kunish, I don't know where I heard it, but that the plates were the second most bought plates and brought in $60,000+. Congratulations.
Yeah, we're the third most popular. We've outsold the Minnesota Twins and the Minnesota Wild. no dig to the teams, but I'm happy that we're doing that. And it's actually brought more than $90,000, a little bit over $90,000 that will help with support. It goes back to the office to provide eventually we're announcing rewards and then other supports for search and other projects. So super thankful that Senator put that together, and not just Senator, but other folks that made sure that that happened. So,
yeah, that's huge. And, you know, I remember her talking about the plates on our show, and I remember getting a sample plate last year. I was crying enough to where Anna gave me one. And, now I got a real one on my car. I appreciate you, Anna. Hey, we're with Anna Negrete, and we are going to be talking a little bit more about tomorrow and what people should bring and what people should expect. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Art Center, an art space that's more than the spoon and cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including Indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demeny, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
Native history in Minnesota is diverse and rich. Indigenous people have dwelled here for thousands of years and continue to live here today. Our home, Native Minnesota, at the Minnesota History Center, shares the history and contemporary stories of the region's Native peoples. Now on display, the mask designed by Miwokan Dakota artist Cole Redhorse Taylor and worn by Minnesota Wild goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury. Visit the Minnesota History Center to hear stories of resilience, adaptation, and survival.
A home that needs new everything, plus the kitchen sink. Life math is complicated. Affinity Plus makes it easier. With great rates on a home equity line of credit, we make tackling home projects less stressful. Visit affinityplus.org/rates to learn more today. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union. Insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we are here with Anna Negrete, interim director of the Minnesota State MMIR office of Minnesota Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives. And we are talking about the march tomorrow. And let's get to the brass tacks right now. How did this start? And like, what do people need to bring? And where is this? Because we have people from all over the country listening to us.
Yeah, so initially this started with shout out to Native Lives Matter and Renan Goodrich started it 10 years ago. She since moved up to Duluth, and I know that there's events happening in Duluth and Bemidji as well. The one here in the cities is at the Minneapolis American Indian Center on Franklin Avenue. Folks will start coming about 10:30. I think doors open up. Speakers will be at 11. We'll head out the door for the march around noon, and oh, it says 12:05, but we'll start marching when we're done talking. So and then come back and eat. And so we're happy to be in community with people, and you know, big shout out to everybody who has made this happen. In the last segment we talked about different sponsors, and so many people are behind the scenes folks. Took a lot of magic to pull it together. And so hopefully community comes.
Yeah. And what should people wear? I know during the commercial break, Haley and I figured out what we're going to wear. But what should everyone wear?
Yeah, because they're going to be twinning tomorrow. So wear red. Red is the color of the day for tomorrow. And so we encourage people to wear red tomorrow. Rock your favorite ribbon skirt if you got them. And, just hope to see you decked out in red. Dress warm and layers. You know, it's going to be cold out. I think the forecast is about 20, 24 degrees last time I heard. That's not even including wind chill. And I don't know what the wind chill is, but it's going to be cold out. So dress in layers. What else should I tell you about tomorrow?
Bring banners, bring posters.
Of relatives. There's going to be a silhouette display, some red dresses that community can have the opportunity to write missing or murdered relatives on these silhouettes. There'll be some VIP seating for elders in the front. So if you see those blocked out, those are for the elders, and we'll give the elders some extra time to get out before the mad rush as we go to march. So clear the way so the elders can make their way through the door before we head out as a community.
I'm a baby elder, so do I get the second?
A young
row
elder, right?
64 years old, yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll like that. I think that's what we'll have to do. It like we'll have to like be like, if you're 90, you get front row. 80, you know, we'll have to break it back. So it might be back a few rows.
Oh, it might be more than one row. Yeah. All right. Just so I can get Haley to get me my dinner.
Yeah. I'll be up there for you.
Yeah. She's gonna get you just vegetables. I mean.
Yeah. Just all the stuff you don't like.
Yeah, I like stuff. Everything.
Yeah.
I like everything. well, I appreciate that. That's really cool. So wear red, bring banners, posters, drums,
pictures.
And
rattles. Yep, pictures of your relatives. Again, in the grandparents room, we'll have like a list of names streaming of impacted, I think 160 some names of relatives that have been murdered or missing in here in Minnesota. So just acknowledging them again, we can add to that list. We don't mean to offend by leaving anybody out. There's just not a good data source, and so we're trying to do better and start that. So I'm ready for somebody to say you forgot our relative's name, and mm-hmm. we'll get that added.
Yeah. I remember last year, I think it was after you guys listed the names, someone said to shout out the names if you have a relative that wasn't listed, and there was a bunch of people that, you know, went on for what it seemed like a very long time of people in the crowd shouting out relatives.
That's super powerful, Haley. I remember that too.
Yeah,
that is something that like is left an impression on my soul for real. I think that was the first time that I really kind of spoke, you know, as a part of the office, and to read those names and getting choked up halfway through. And then even the like community, what I remember about that is community shouting out encouragement, and then also like list, you know, telling their, saying their relatives' names. That was very powerful and something that stuck with me. So I was like, I want to do that again, because I don't, you know, there's power in saying their names, and we say that, say their names. We remember you. We acknowledge you. So. Looking forward to that piece.
You know, it's a combination too, Anna, of seeing relatives you haven't seen in a while, which is a good feeling, but also what Haley brought up is that there's so much power and powerful things happening too at the same time. So it's really, I can't say enough about the about what happens during this march and this get together.
Yeah, it is. It is really beautiful to be in community and just coming together, leaving aside whatever, you know, nonsense we have going on in the rest of our world, and just being there for one another. There's so much power, and to see folks coming together and knowing that folks are in constant prayers, they're moving and being in the space. I'm excited. I'm going to be here bright and early at 8 a.m. smudging the building off so we can be here with good space and energy. And get ready.
That's really important. And Haley, you'll be getting there earlier than me to get your hoodie. So you can be twinning.
Got to be there. Got to be the first. Any help that you guys need, just let me know. And excited to be there. I remember the speeches last year were so powerful. I want to shout out Rachel Dion Thunder, who is always such a very incredibly motivating speaker. Mm-hmm. And hearing from the relatives' families too, who come and speak their truth, and just encouraging them and trying to lift them up in any way that we can. So thank you. And thank you everyone who has had a hand in putting this event together.
Right on. And Anna, I got a reminder, relatives out there that are listening, is that the women always lead the way in the parade. And I know, and that is something that, you know, as an elder and as a male, I'll remind people too, that the women are leading this. And it's very important to know that. And some people forget that, and maybe not maliciously, but just, we have to remind that this is a woman led activity, and in a good way. And most things in Native country are woman-led. Let's get real, right?
We get the work done. We get the work done. Not that y'all don't, but we get the work done. And so, yeah, Haley, I echo your sentiment. Rachel, we asked Rachel to round up our speaker lineup, just because she does. She, the way she speaks energizes community. And then I'm like, yeah, let's, you know, after hearing her, I'm like, yeah, let's go march. So super happy to have her back again this year. She'll be joining us in community.
I remember one year Bernie Sanders' wife was there.
Really?
Yeah, that was really cool. Because, I know that too, because I was able to interview her for the show. But yeah, it was around election time, so she was there for a reason. It's also very cool that she was there, because no other political person running for president at the time was to be seen.
Showed up. Yep. Yeah, and those are the things that we remember, right? Who shows up for us in those difficult times. And so it'll be good, again, to see everybody who's come in, whether they're famous or not. So can't wait to be in community. Before I forget, it's my daughter's 25th birthday. Happy birthday, Rihanna. So I just shout out to my daughter.
Yeah, well, happy birthday, Hocheni Hamke Beske.
Hey, that isn't the famous one, though, is it?
No, Athena knows the banker, the pharmacist. She knows everybody. She hooked you up with the hoodie. She's a mover and groover. She's making her way in the world. She has a bomb detection dog that she works with and handles. And then we have our bloodhound that is still in training to do scent discriminate trailing to help locate missing relatives too. So she's one to watch.
Awesome.
Wow, that's great. Hey, we were with Anna Negrete, interim director of the Minnesota Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives. And we'll see everyone tomorrow at 11. I'll be there at 10:30 at my secret parking spot. Pini Gigi, thank you for being on, and we'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Alba Show.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday, Todd Alba returns to the big chair before Pat returns from vacation. And let's get this weekend started together. Join us.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief, a development less than a month after pulling TikTok from their U.S. app stores in response to a new law that requires TikTok to divest from its China-based owner. The social media platform has returned to the Apple and Google Play stores. Mudslide concerns in Southern California as it's pounded by rain after recent wildfires. CBS's Lonnie Quinn reports.
That storm makes its way into Chicago by the time we get to, say, later tomorrow, and then it keeps going, maybe 3 inches of snow for Chicago. But it gets to the northeast. It is snow on Saturday. Very snowy Saturday. It's a very rainy Sunday. In between, late Saturday night, could be an icing situation for the lower Hudson Valley.
Manhattan's top federal prosecutor, Danielle Sassoon, resigns after she refused an order to drop corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams. CBS's Scott McFarland.
A second and third acting Department of Justice official have both stood down also as the Department of Justice tried to hand them the matter of USA versus Eric Adams.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Your